Yudalev Kislev, 26th of November, Rabbi Gedalia Lieberman. Can I drink coffee in the Beis Medrash?
Can I drink coffee in the shul? And evidently, can. Somebody suggested it might be different between a basic Knesset and a basic Medrash. Well, that's the basic Knesset, so that's what the shiur is for. That's yeah. It seems not only I know the answer. It seems others know the answer as well. So I don't know. It could be we can go home.
Is that a proof?
Okay. So I'll change the title slightly, because everyone knows the answer. Can I eat pizza in shul? Can I eat pizza in shul? Let me say that. I have half an hour to say it out. I'll begin with a story that a number of years ago, I was a bocher in yeshiva, and we were staying in the yeshiva building, Bein Hazmanim, in the holidays when there was no yeshiva. And it happened that we'd ordered, there was a couple of bochers staying there, the exact setting isn't relevant, and we'd ordered pizza to eat. And we were trying to work out where the most comfortable and best place to be would be to eat the pizza. And somebody suggested the best place would be in the Beis HaMedrash. That would be just whatever it was, I don't remember, maybe they were working in the dining room or whatever it was closed. The Beis HaMedrash sounded like the most comfortable place to have our meal. And one of the bochrim then said that you're not allowed to eat in a shul. So everybody pounced on him. What do you mean you're not allowed to? Everybody does it. To which he responded that everybody does it isn't what makes the halacha. I mean, you have to open a shulchan aruch to decide what the halacha is. So people pointed out that it's not just everybody does it. I mean, if you walk into yeshiva, you'll see in some yeshivas at least there's people drinking coffee in the Beis HaMedrash while they're learning. So he said maybe, so this bocha suggested that maybe that's different because it's as you're learning, might be a little bit different. Bezes Hashem, we'll shortly go through it. We'll go through it in an orderly fashion, the different halachas. I'm just going to repeat the story as it happened. So he said that might be different, but then people said, well, what about people have a make a sechta in a shul, people are eating a meal in a shul. So the spris sometimes, sheva brachas, people sometimes make use of a shul, a kiddush after davening, shalosh shudas. I mean, people, and it's not just everybody does it, there's sometimes important people, choshev the rabbonim over there, and they also seem to be eating in the shul, so it must be okay. To which he responded, I mean, he didn't know necessarily the ins and the outs of the halacha, he just knew, as far as he was told that you're not allowed to eat in a shul. So he said, maybe it's different if it's a Suda's mitzvah, so the Shabbos might be different. And then people said, well, can't you make a Tanai? I'm sure every shul's made with a Tanai. And this he happened to know, and he said, the Tanai only works when after the shul is destroyed. Once the shul is destroyed, so then if you've made a Tanai, you can then go and use it for eating or drinking, you can use the place, you can drink. But while the shul is set up, you can't. This is what this person said, and he claimed that we weren't allowed to eat in the shul. What happened, to be honest, I don't remember. I just remember the discussion. But I remember at the time I pulled out a shulchan aruch, and I tried to get some sort of picture, what the halacha is. And as often happens, if you haven't learned the sugya properly with the Gemaras, with the Rishonim, it's sometimes difficult to get a clear picture from just opening a Shulchan Aruch without giving it the time it deserves. But I did see that he seemed to be right. He seemed to be right. I mean, the simple halacha Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kufra and Aleph, which is the dinim of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, the holiness of the shul and the way to treat and the way to respect that Kedusha. The simple halacha is you're not allowed to eat in a shul. I also noticed that there seemed to be some limitations and some heterim, but it was difficult at the time to get a proper grasp and to make a clear decision whether that incident would be mutter or osa. But like I say, it's also a shaila, drinking coffee in a shul, and as the people have pointed out, that the shita day and the start of your day, the Torah, on a regular day when it's in Oil Moshe, also for a couple of reasons, for a few reasons, are different. In other words, the different occasions have. I think there's two major differences, at least that the different occasion has. So let me begin in order. There's a Siman Shulchan Aruch, Siman Kufnun Aleph, which discusses the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses and how to respect that Kedusha, how to treat the Beis HaKnesses appropriately. And it begins, Halacha Aleph begins with a Braisa, begins quoting a Braisa in the Gemara, the Braisa is in Masechta Megillah, Per Bnei Yair. But the Knesses Ubati Midrashas, Shuls and Beis HaMedrash. Shul is a place which is miyuchad primarily, set aside primarily for davening. As I believe front of this room is certainly a Beis HaKnesses. Especially there's a place at the back for which seems to be more of a Beis HaMedrash. So the front of the room, here is a Beis HaKnesses, and the Beis HaMedrash is a place which is miyuchad set aside primarily for learning. So Bati Knesses Ubati Midrashas, Einergim Ben Kalas Rosh. You're not allowed to act there lightheadedly. You have to act with respect. It says, you can't make jokes over there, or idle chatter. You're not allowed to eat over there, you're not allowed to drink over there. That's the simple halach in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to sleep in a shul. You can't go into the shul because it's hot outside. The shul is air conditioned, happens often. Think, okay, it's boiling hot, my house is out of air conditioning. Let me go sit in the shul a little bit. Talk to a friend, let me do it in shul. You can't go because it's too hot outside, you can't go because it's raining outside. That's the simple halacha. And that's the starting point. The starting point is the shul has a kedusha and you're not allowed to eat or drink. But moving one's way through the siman in Shulchan Aruch, so there's a number of heterim, and I think there's three heterim that are relevant. In other words, there's three halachas, three exceptions that are relevant to our shaila. And each one has different opinions, how to understand it exactly, and that will change the halacha. But there's three heterim that I'd like to go through, that the Shulchan Aruch continues with, and try and adapt it to our question, can I drink my coffee while I'm giving the shir? In a basic Knesset. So the first heter is the same sif in Shulchan Aruch, if Aleph continues, that there's a heter for Chachomim, or Talmidei Chachomim v'Talmideihin. This is a Gemara, I think it's on a Rava, that the Gemara says, Talmidei Chachomim v'Talmideihin, Talmidei Chachomim, Torah scholars, and their students, Mutarin, they're allowed to do things in a shul, and exactly what we'll discuss in just a moment. And the Gemara explains, Rav explains, because my Bei Rabbonon, we call a shul or a Beis HaMedrash, a Bei Rabbonon, a house of Rabbonon, what do we mean? It's Beis HaRabbonon, it's the Rabbonon's house. If you're a rabbi, if you're a Talmud Chacham, or a student of a Talmud Chacham, which I believe all of us who start our day the Torah way, fall into this category, I would have thought.
Of the students.
At least either the Chachamim or Talmideihin, one or the other, that's right. We probably fall into this category. So it's based at Rabbanon, the shul is our house. That's what the Gemara says. And the simple understanding of the Gemara would be that it's your house, and in your house you can do whatever you want. Not things that are really degrading the shul, not things that are bizoyan. But the simple understanding of the Gemara would imply, maybe what Rashi teaches, explains the Gemara, that it's your house, in your house you can eat, you can drink, you can sleep, you can do things. It's based at Rabbanon. However, it's not so simple. This Gemara is not so simple. All the Rishonim struggle with exactly how to explain this Gemara, which limits this heter. In other words, if you read the Gemara simply, so then if we're a Rabbanon, we can do what we want in shuls, both Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. It's our house. We're going back to that story of the pizza. This is Yeshiva Bacharim. The Beis HaMedrash is really the house. I'm saying, so it's their house, and so maybe they can eat and drink over there. So the problem is at this. There's the question, the Rishonim already asked the question. There's a Gemara that has a story. Ravina and Ravada have a shaylta mikam made the rabba. They asked the shayla of rabba. Ravina and Ravada, two Amoroim, who lived in Bovel, asked the shayla of rabba. And then he gave them the answer. And then suddenly, also zilcha the mitra, a gush of rain came. And they weren't comfortable standing outside in the rain. They weren't able to discuss the Teretz. So they went into the shul and they explained that it's not Mishum Mitra. They didn't go into the shul because of the rain, because that would be forbidden. Rather, Mishum Shmaitza Boy Tzilusa. Shmaitza, learning, needs Tzilusa, needs a Deat Tzilula, needs a clear head. To learn, you need a clear head. So that's why they went into the shul. In other words, they explained that if they went into the shul because the rain would be an isser, they wouldn't be allowed to go into the shul for the rain. Their only excuse that they were allowed to go into the shul is because it was in order to help them learn. So, Chayra Shver, the Gemara says that Talmidei Chachamim are allowed to make use of the shul or a Beis Medrash like their house. How come Rav Ada and Ravina said they wouldn't be allowed to go in because of the rain? So this is a question that the Rishonim deal with. And there's different answers. The Gosa Shri, for example, answers that it was a Chumrah. They didn't... It's a Daf Yochid, but it was a Chumrah. They didn't need to... they could have gone into the rain. It was their house, but they were machmir themselves to treat the shul with extra respect and wouldn't go in for the rain, even though they were allowed to. However, the Rambam, the way the Rambam words this halacha, he says, Chachomim b'talmideihem, mutar nikones, they can go into a shul for their needs, b'doichuk, if it's an emergency. If it's a pressing situation, only if it's an urgent situation, then they're allowed to go into the shul. So the Gemara says, Talmid Chacham go in, and the Rambam limits it only if it's very, very important. And the Beis Yosef says this is because the Rambam is disturbed by this Gemara. Ravina and Ravada wouldn't go into the shul for the rain. And the reason is because the rain, says the Beis Yosef, isn't such an emergency. People walk in the rain sometimes, so it's raining, but that's not called doichuk, that's not called a pressing situation. In other words, according to the Rambam, in order to go into a shul, even for Talmidei Chacham, even for us, and in order to have a coffee in the shul, if we want to use this heter, make use of this heter, it's only if it's very, very important. So if somebody can't manage without the coffee, then it might be okay. But according to the Rambam, if you could manage without the coffee, then you cannot have the coffee in a Beis HaMedrash or a Beis HaKnesses, at least not relying on this heter. You can't rely on the fact that you're a Talmid Chacham, this is my house. The Rambam says only if it's an emergency. That's the answer the Rambam goes with. Huh?
Also
Beis HaMedrash. Yeah, the Rambam is not Mechalav to Beis HaMedrash and Beis HaKnesses. And that's the way the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch Paskins. Mechaber Paskins said the Rambam. Comes the Ramah and is much, and comes the Ramah and says he's much more makel. Ramah goes with the Teretz of the Ran. The Ran has the same issue, the same Kasha. Yeah, on the one hand, the Gemara says Talmidei Chachamim could do what they want in a shul because it's their house. And on the other hand, Ravina and Rav Ada wouldn't go into the shul to protect themselves from the rain. So the Ran says, like people here are suggesting, this is the Ran, this is where this Teretz comes from, that there's a difference between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMedrash. A Beis HaKnesses is a place which is main primary purpose. It's for learning, it's for davening. That's awesome. And that's why Ravina and Ravada couldn't go into the shul, because that was a Beis HaKnesses. It was a shul. Whereas a Beis HaMedrash, says the Ran, is Mutar for Talmidei Chachamim. And the simple understanding of the Ran is this is a blank heter, straight out heter, a Talmud Chacham or Talmidei, or their students, anybody who's involved in learning. The Beis HaMedrash is your house and you can do what you want there. When you want. You can drink coffee if you're in the middle of learning. If you're not in the middle of learning, you can go and buy a coffee and use the Beis HaMedrash to be a comfortable place to sit and drink your coffee. Or for that question we had, eating the pizza in the Beis HaMedrash, the answer is yes, Shiva Bochrim, the Beis HaMedrash is their home. According to the simple understanding of the Ran, and again there are more Paskins, Ramah seemingly Paskins like the Ran. Ramah says Yesh Emrim, Yesh Emrim, that the Beis HaMedrash Shari even Shalomi Doichik, after Shalomi Doichik. So according to this heter, then it's again for Beis HaKnesses, it doesn't help us. It seems Ramah agrees to the heter of the Mechaber that Beis HaKnesses you can Midoichik, the Rambam Beis HaKnesses you can also if it's very important. But Beis HaMedrash is straightforward. Okay. So that would be a major heter. The problem is there's a third Mahalach over here. And which is the Mogen of Rom. The Mogen of Rom argues with the way the Mechaber and the Ramah understood the Pshat and the Rishonim. The Mogen of Rom says a different Pshat. The Mogen of Rom says that which the Gemara says that Chum and Talmideim are allowed to make use of a shul, it doesn't mean the shul is their house, they can do what they want. It means while they're learning, they don't have to disturb the learning and go have their meals outside of shul. If it's going to take up time from your learning, so then it's difficult, so then you can eat in the shul. In other words, he says the heter is on what? Limited. Is limited only to eating and drinking, maybe also sleeping, while...
Even a
suda? Even a suda, yes. Eating and drinking, even a suda, but only while you're learning. It's not a heter that this is my house, so in my house I can do what I want. He says the Beis Yosef understood, had a question, how could Ravina and Ravada go into the shul for the rain? You're never allowed to go into the shul for rain. Just because it's your house doesn't mean you can... He says, V'chi Talmidei Chacham einam muzharin al moir mikdash. Talmidei Chacham don't have the mitzvah to fear the Mokam Kodosh. There's no difference between a Talmud Chacham and another person. The word is, when you're learning, then you're allowed to eat and drink. As part of the learning. You don't have to disturb the learning. When you're not learning, you're not allowed to. And the Magen of Rome learns, that's the pshat of the Rambam. When the Rambam says you can do things midoichak, it doesn't mean that if it's very important, you can run in for the rain. If it's freezing cold, you can go into the shul to warm up. That's not Talmud Chacham. That's not what the Rambam means according to the Magen of Rome. According to the Magen of Rome, the Rambam means, in middle of learning, you can eat and drink. And he says the Ran means the same thing. The Ran that says a Beis HaMedrash is different than a Beis HaKnesses, he doesn't really mean there's a difference between a Beis HaMedrash and a Beis HaKnesses. The Magen of Rome says, if you're learning in a Beis HaKnesses, as we are now, then it's fine. It's part of your learning. You don't have to, if you walk out to drink your coffee, you'll miss half the shiur. So that's according to Magen of Rome. That's the Hetzer, even in a Beis HaKnesses. In a Beis HaMedrash, if you're not learning over there, it's no good. So if we wanted to eat our pizza in the Beis HaMedrash, you can't do that. It's our house. No. It's your house when you're learning, as you're learning, you can take part and eat. That's the way the Magen of Rome explains this heter of a Chumrah Talmideon. And as we pointed out, it's sometimes a Chumrah, sometimes a Kula. There is a Mashmos in the Poskim that they seem to be noikah to the Das HaMagen of Rome. So if we go with that, then this heter, the Maisa, is good for the Torah way, drinking coffee or even eating a Danish while you're listening to the Shir. That's fine, according to the Magen of Rome. But if you're not, you want to just come in to the Beis HaMedrash for other reasons, the fact that you're Talmud Chacham doesn't help you, even in a Beis HaMedrash. Well, Rome's heter is equal for Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash. He says so clearly. He says Beis HaKnesses, if you learn there, also. Beis HaMedrash, if you're not learning there, then it doesn't work. So that's the first heter and how it... So if we all those things, according to the simple understanding of the Ramah, if we're talking about Chum B'Talmideon, then it would be Mutter. For others, it would be also. According to the Magen of Rome, this heter doesn't help us at all. This heter doesn't help us. And therefore, this heter won't help us. According to the Ramah, the Beis HaMedrash is the Chum's house. You do what you want when you want. According to the simple understanding of the Ramah. The way the Magen of Rome understands the Ram, the Ramah quotes, it's only B'Shas Limud, like you say, and therefore it wouldn't help. This heter wouldn't help. This heter wouldn't help. Let's move on to the next heter.
So we are the
Umu,
we passed with the
Umu. No, first of all, we do it sometimes even in a shul, not in a Beis HaMedrash. I don't know if there's other Eterium, that's what I'm going to move on. If we move through the Shulchan Aruch, there's three Eterium that are really majorly relevant to our Shaila. The first one would help for the Torah way, straightforward, according to the Magen of Rome, but it wouldn't help for many of the other cases, that's right. But then there's another heter. The second heter that I'd like to discuss is in Sif Dalet, in Kufran Aleph Sif Dalet. Over there, it says that Tzorich Beis HaKnesses, if the Achila, Shtia, Shina, the thing you're doing in the shul, which is not by Kovadik, is a Tzorich Beis HaKnesses, it's somehow for the shul. Or even the Tzorich Mitzvah Acheres, for any mitzvah, it's somehow not only for you, but it's for a mitzvah, then it's mutter. And let me tell you the mocker of this, it's actually a very interesting Gemara. It's a Gemara Baba Basra that discusses that you're not allowed to knock down a shul in order to build another shul. That's the in order to to build a shul, you have to first build a new shul and then knock down the old shul. That's what the Gemara says. And this is a major shaila lemaisa. It's also similar to the Kufran base, whole similar to the Shulchan, and it's the Gei lemaisa. You can't even refurbish a shul. It says that you can't knock down one wall before you first rebuild the next wall. Two opinions. One is because meanwhile you won't have where to daven, which is actually so. Therefore, many poskim hold that if there's another shul in the town, you're fine. So machlokes the poskim, because like we have over here, we don't know where to learn in Bel Moshe, where we usually, but you can come elsewhere. There's other shuls, Baruch Hashem, in Golders Green. And the other reason is mishum pshus, so you might run out of money, you might not rebuild the shul, and therefore you can't do this. Okay. The Gemara says, it's an old sugyo, which we're not going to go into, and the Gemara says there's some exceptions. So one of the exceptions is if there's cracks in the walls, then you knock it down right away, and you rebuild a new shul. Before you build a new shul, you knock down the old shul right away as soon as you see the cracks. And the Gemara has a story that by Rav Ashi, in his town, there was cracks in the walls, and they knocked down the shul, and they were going to build a new shul. And Rav Ashi was worried that they would be, like you say, they would delay the building of the shul. And what he did was, he took his bed, and he moved it to the place of the shul. And he slept there every night until the rain went on him, Rashi says, and it got wet and it was uncomfortable, until they finished building the shul. And the Gemara says, Ad the takan le shvichi. Until it finished, till the end, they put up the gutters, until it was the building was literally finished, he kept his bed over there. In order to encourage, Rashi says, to encourage himself. He was uncomfortable, and this he knew would force him to rebuild the shul. So what the Gemara says, Rav Ashi did. Fret, Tosfos, and all the Rishonim asked the same question: how are you allowed to sleep in a shul?
It wasn't a shul.
And if you say the shul was destroyed, So even once the shul is destroyed, you're not allowed to sleep in the shul. It's Mishnah, Megillah. Even when it's destroyed, you have to keep the kedusha of the shul. So it's this kasha. A, B, the Gemara says he slept there even after it was built, and he stayed there until it was till the end. So that's the kasha that all the Rishonim ask.
After he didn't sleep.
And no, he slept. He can't go. He probably took a couple of weeks. He didn't take a.
He's doing his place to sleep. He's doing.
He's going to get his shul rebuilt. Oh, so that's one territory. Just a second. So Tosa says he didn't move it to the shul. Tosa said the shul next to the shul was a room adjacent to the shul where the orichim would eat. There was a kitchen. He put his bed, positioned his bed, not where the shul is, where the kitchen was, where the dining room was. There were other rooms next to the shul. That's where he put his bed. He put his bed somewhere in the building. Doesn't have to be exactly where the shul is. That's what Tosfos answers and the Rosh answers. However, there's another answer, like you're suggesting, from the Gosa Shui, the Mordechai, the Gosa Maimonis. They all say this answer, that there's a difference if it's a Tzoyruch Mitzvah. If it's a Tzoyruch Beis HaKnesses, they bring a raya by Ibra Shona when the Beis Din were Ma'abra the Shonos, so they would sit in shul and have a meal over there. So you see, you're allowed to, the Tzoyruch Mitzvah, you're allowed to eat and drink in the shul, and so too, says the Gosa Maimonis, allowed to sleep in the shul for any mitzvah. For sure, if the mitzvah is for the sake of the shul, that's for sure a heter to eat and drink in the shul, or to sleep in the shul. And that's the teretz that Gosh Maimonides says, and as a result, we have halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says, L'tzoyruch mitzvah, you're allowed to eat in the shul. So, the question is, how far should we take this heter? Yeah, when you see the halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you might think, well, maybe it's for this mitzvah, so the Shabbos, so the Bris, so the Siyam Sechter, might be okay. Comes the Morgan Rome and quotes a smak that says, that only a Suda like the Suda they made the Ibra Shana, which is made of pas and kidneys, just some bread and beans. And the way the Prima Godim explains this, Morgan of Rom, any Suda that there's a Chash Shichrus, that one might get Shikha, that lively atmosphere, a Purim Suda, or they say, or the Prima Godim says, like a Chasana, then you wouldn't be allowed to do it in a shul, even though it's a mitzvah. And the Prima Godin says, even yosseim v'yosseimah. In other words, what could possibly be a bigger mitzvah than marrying off two orphans, a yosseim v'yosseimah? Nevertheless, it's a big mitzvah, no question about it. Nevertheless, you wouldn't be allowed to do it in a shul, says the Prima Godin, according to this Morgan of Ron, because there's a chash shichrus. So on one hand, we have a head to hear, anything which is tzoruch mitzvah is allowed. But the way the Prima Godman stands in Morgan of Rome, he limits it to only if we make sure the Suda isn't a Suda of that has in it Shichrus. The Mishnah Berurah brings this Morgan of Rome, brings this Prima Godman, that Suda Chasni wouldn't be allowed, Suda Sima Sechti wouldn't be allowed. And he then says, however, if people do it, like people are Makel, to have a Sima Sechti Shul, in Limchus B'Yodam, you shouldn't be Moicha, because there's something to rely on. You can rely. You shouldn't be making something to rely on, and this leads us into the third heter that I want to discuss. The time is moving on quicker than the shir is, so we'll briefly discuss the third heter. And this is the heter that I imagine some people are thinking, what about a tanai? Can you make a condition when you build the shul, you should be allowed to eat and drink in the shul? The Gemara says, Rabasi says, but the Knesius, about the Midrash, Shabbat Bovel, Al Tanai Hina Suyin, all the shuls in Bovel are made Al Tanai. And the tanai is, what's the tanai? So Rashi says, the tanai is, you can eat there, you can drink there, you can do whatever you want. So this is a straightforward heter. You're not allowed to do things in a shul, but if you make it with the tanai, then you can do what you want. So the ma'aseh is, it's not so posh. Even if you make it tanai, you make a condition, then I don't know if it's talking about getting drunk. It's a meal that you may, by accident, lead to drunkenness okay, that we'd have to think. The implication is, if you make it tanai, then perhaps you can do whatever you want. There's no rules. There are some limitations. You're right. There are some limitations. Something which is really a bezoyin. So you have to decide whether being drunk is called a bezoyin. It depends who. You have this heter. What's the problem? So here we have another major machlokes we're showing him of how to explain this tonight. What's the problem? The problem is, we already quoted a Gemara, that Ravina and Rav Ada wouldn't go into a shul to protect themselves from the rain. Where did Ravina and Rav Ada live? In Bavel. And the Gemara says all the shuls in Bavel were the tonight. So why couldn't they go into the shul? That's Tosfos' kasha. A number of Rishonim ask this kasha. Says Tosfos, the Tanai only works once the shul is destroyed. Be sure, while the shul is up, while the shul is built, the Tanai doesn't work. The Tanai only works once the shul is destroyed. And therefore that limits his heter tremendously, right? It doesn't really help us. Once it's destroyed, the Kedusha remains, and you wouldn't be allowed to eat there. Nevertheless, if you make it Tanai, the Tanai is that the shul should only retain its Kedusha as long as it's built. Once, no, so the din is the place of the shul retains Kedusha. It's a Mishnah in Megillah.
Why would it destroy you?
So the logic is like this, that when it's built, the chori, this is the logical basis. When the shul is built, then it's up. So you want to make a condition. What's the condition? The shul has kedusha. Make a condition, even though, can I make a condition that the tefillin shouldn't be holy? And I should do what I want with them? When you build the shul, you make a condition, but it's a shul, you daven there. A place that you daven, this will be the logic of the Tosafot, something along these lines of Pashtus, a place of the shul, a place where you daven is holy. Whether you want it to be holy or not, whether you make conditions or not, a shul is holy, you daven there. But you could make condition that the holiness should only last, the kedusha should only last as long as there's a shul. Alone, the kedusha would last forever, but it should only last as long as there's a shul. That's the opinion of Tosafos, only Bruch Rabbanoi. Again, the opinion of Rashi and there is Rua is even be a shuvai. There's a middle opinion, which is the Ramban, is that for the Tanai helps for a tzei rekabel. Again, they're all just the Rishonim are just trying to work out different Gemaras, and the way the Ramban works it out is for poor people, if there's no other place to put them, to eat, to drink, to sleep, then you can do it in a shul. So a Tanai helps for a tzei rekabel. That's the opinion of the Ramban. Lemaisa, the Shulchan Aruch paskens like the Tosafos, Lechumra, that the Shulchan Aruch paskens like Tosafos, Lechumra, that a Tanai only works for Korbanoi, only when it's destroyed, and that this Hetel seemingly doesn't help us very much. The Mishnah Berurah, however, says, it's back to before, that you have a chasana, a sechta, an important occasion. So you have, besides the fact that it's tzoruch mitzvah, okay, not so straightforward, because it's a chash shichrus, but on the other hand, you can rely on the Tanai. Or at least shouldn't be moichah, you shouldn't protest that people do rely on the opinion of Rashi, the Ozeruah, who say a Tanai works even when the shul is up. You also have over here the Ramban and the Rashba and the Ran, who all say the svara that if it's a tzoruch godl, the Tanai works, so this is what to rely on. So that Mishnah Berurah says is what to rely on. I want to be Messiah the next 2 minutes. We're not going to be able to get through the sugya till the end. Maybe another time. I just want to be Messiah with 2 points. First of all, there's another heta which helps us out a tremendous amount, but not for this shul, but for the other shul. And that is this. There's another halacha, which is that you're not allowed to sleep in a shul, on top of a shul. You're not allowed to sleep on top of a shul. There's a frightening taz. The taz says, I've been a rus, I slept in a Beis HaMedrash, which was on top of a Beis HaKnesses, in the family it seems. Then in Ashti Bazaar, I was punished harbor very strongly. One of my children passed away, he says, my son died. But Talisi Bazaar, and I, the Taz, who knew what he was doing, said it was because of this Avera, frightening Taz.
She's only married a couple of single people.
The simple halacha is even a single person. Sleeping itself is a Gnai.
You don't have a flat on top of the shul.
Oh, so you can't have a flat on top of the shul. So this is another whole sugya, right? Another whole sugya. A lot of discussion, it's a very practical sugya. But one of the things is the Ramah says that it's only if it's built the chetchila as a shul. But if it's a house which is converted to a shul, or another room which is converted to a shul, so then you can't sleep below. That's the din of the Ramah. Then you can't sleep below of it. And that helps for many, many places on a shul underneath a flat. If it's converted, it's fine. And the Morgan of Rome says that not only this din is okay, the Tanai also works. Be a shuvoy. If it's a house which is converted to a shul, so you can make it tonight and you can do what you want over there. That's the big one. So for example, for the other shul, at least for 90% of it, maybe the little extension, not. But the most of it, according to the Magen Avraham, the Tanai works fully. Then the rabbi argues the Magen Avraham, so it's still not so straightforward, this heter as well. But so between all the Terim, there's what to find a heter. If I can just be Messiah with, very briefly, a Tosafos that says only in Bovel a Tanai would work. Only in Bovel a Tanai would work. In Eretz Yisrael, not only in Bovel, all the Chutzrat, in Eretz Yisrael a Tanai wouldn't work. Because in Bovel, when Mashiach comes, the shul is anyway not going to be a shul. It's going to disappear. Just a second. So therefore, tonight, but in Eretz Yisrael, the shul is going to be forever, you can't make it tonight. That's what the Tosafos says. Frek the Morgan of Rome. The next piece of Gemara says that Asifim Bat Knesis Bat Midrash of Bavel. All the shuls are going to fly to Eretz Yisrael. And he says maybe there's only the walls. Maybe the floor is going to stay here. And when it's destroyed, it's okay. Says the Morgan of Rome, no, you can't say that. It's clear from the Gemara that even the ground is going to fly to Eretz Yisrael. Says the Morgan of Rome, it's only be Yeshuva. It's only when the shul is still up. But if it's Chorav, if the shul is already destroyed before Mashiach comes, then it won't come to Eretz Yisrael. And that's why B'chor Bonner, it's now works. Because anyway, if it's destroyed before Mashiach comes, it won't last forever. Enjoy your coffee.
Good.